Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Hey, welcome to this week, the last week of Spooky Week on Burnt Out Coffee. We got some good news, I got some bad news. Good news! We recorded the episodes, they're coming up right now. You're about to watch one. Ba-bam! Bad news. We had some technical difficulties. A on-brand thing for this podcast, if you've been a long-time follower. Oscar Fernandez... I 100% do not blame. This is not his fault. His computer just went, I'm not going to record your audio. So what we're going to do is you're going to watch the videos. You're going to see them now. But I'm going to do all my magical powers to get the audio to sound the best it can. But for our audio listeners and our video listeners, I'm going to try the best. If it's not the best it can, if some words get lost because of how we recorded and everything, I'm going to do my best. But you're going to get these episodes because I feel like they were really well, especially the last bit we had. That's it. I'm Spider-Man. And welcome to this episode of Burnt Out Coffee. You'll see this again on Friday's episode as well, just to remind you. Bye. There's an area.
Okay.
Sorry.
Cool. You're singing so beautifully.
Oh, okay. I got you. Over the garden wall, you'll see some talking frogs. You see a boy who thinks he's an elephant and a lot of, I think, 1920s culture. 1920s?
That's a rock fact.
Welcome to Burnt Out Cafe, where we only deliver the spookiest Halloween-based rock facts. I hope I do remember to edit the rock here. If I don't, I look stupid. Rock! Let's see if I edit it for you too. I don't know.
Every time we do this, you have to edit a rock here. Every time.
Let's see if I can remember that. Let's see. Stop. Just stop. This episode's starting off great. Welcome to Burnt Out Coffee. And today we're doing a Does it stack up? This is going to be a great episode. Does it stack up? Where we take a more modern story, modern form of animation, comic, movie, film, anime, and we compare it to its contemporaries. And this one, we're doing a Halloween tradition. Because this is our first Halloween.
Ooh.
Is it our first Halloween? Have we celebrated a year of Burnt Out Coffee yet? No, we haven't. To our first Halloween spooky edition.
Our first Halloween.
We're talking about, of course, Cartoon Networks, which you can now watch on HBO Max. We're not sponsored by them. HBO Max, call me. We're watching Over the Garden Wall. Over the Garden Wall is a... I wouldn't say classic. It came out in the era of Adventure Time and... regular show
by the guy that made Flapjack.
Yeah, Peter McHale. Patrick McHale.
It's a name.
Patrick McHale. His last name is McHale. Watch, I get that wrong too. But Over the Garden Wall is... I want to start this off because what we do is we analyze the story, the animation in the sense of animated moments, the characters, basically the overall subject, and we bring in little facts about what we know, and at the end we kind of give you our opinion. Does it stack up to the rest of it? Because we're looking at this property in the modern contemporary lens, where we're trying to analyze it to what we care about now, our standards of today. Because as time moves on, standards actually rise, because the special effects of the 40s are not the special effects of the 20s. The stories of the 40s are not the same stories of the 20s. I don't know why I keep saying 40s, but it's the 40s.
I don't know. We're not watching Betty Boop.
Boop! And the first thing I want to say, Oscar, and I think you might agree, I am actually impressed by this thing. The balls they have to get sponsored by Cartoon Network and openly choose to make it a miniseries. Only 10 episodes this show is.
I think I'll have to do some research, but I think Cartoon Network has done a few miniseries here and there. But I was surprised with this one. I Don't know why Flapjack was canceled, because this has the same feeling to that it could have kept going.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the show that, like, not just story-wise, but the way it's constructed, you could easily make it go for seasons.
Oh, yeah. But I will say, I'm actually glad they didn't go that route, shockingly.
No, it's perfect just the way it is. A nice, crisp 10.
Mm-hmm. So, the 10 episodes. So, going into the story, Oscar, would you like to take over or would you want me?
Sure. Let's see. So, we have two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Greg and Wart. I don't know why you name your kid Wart, but it's very strange because I feel like the demographic is still children, even though it has adult themes to it.
Mm-hmm.
Children wouldn't have a strong concept of that time period.
Yeah, the time they chose was the 1920s, right? Like, I know it's Tom Sawyer time.
Yeah, it looks like the 20s or something like that, or very, you know, late 1800s, very early 1900s.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, you know, it has, you know, like, steam-powered stuff. There's no electricity. Everyone's still using candles and lanterns and stuff as riverboats. Most common.
Oh, and it's specifically America. Specifying, because
yes, riverboats... it's specifically America.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's, so we have these sort of, like, that's our weird placement is old country, like old, like let's say late 1800s America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so strange. You have these two boys who are lost, and there's like some anamorphic stuff, whether it's animals that can talk or weird creatures and things like that. And I don't feel like these kids are as scared of certain things as they should be.
Yeah.
But it's like they're going through this weird journey. It's not until much later that you realize that not everything as it is or should be.
Spoiler all the way.
Yeah, huge spoilers. Huge spoilers.
So you could go into it. Go into it. Definitely.
So later on you find out, like, these kids are from modern day.
Mm-hmm.
You know? At least, let's say, the 80s, because they're using cassettes.
I thought that, but then I think it's actually 2000s, because the girl makes a very strong point to go. Sarah goes a very strong point to go, like, I don't have a tape recorder.
Right, maybe it's just Wart's, like, weird eclectic taste.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You're probably right. But so this is, say, modern day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, like, and then they find themselves in this sort of weird past fantasy-like world. But to them, it feels natural and normal.
Mm-hmm. Like, they accept it really easily.
Yeah, they accept it very easy, which is the strangest part. But I like that because, mm-hmm. as the viewer, as we're going through it, because it's okay for them, it's kind of okay for us.
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of all go along with it.
Mm-hmm. And it really,
so yeah. It's...
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, you're fine.
All I was going to say, it really helps that since it takes place during when they were in the modern time, Halloween, since they're wearing those weird Halloween costumes, the story tricks us into believing that these children were actually part of the time. Because...
part of that world.
Yeah, Wart was wearing, like, a gnome hat and, no.
Cloak.
No, he wasn't Wart, though. Yeah, he was Wart. Yeah, was wearing the gnome hat, and Greg was wearing, like, a teapot on his head. Even though that's the stupidest thing, we all went, yep, uh-huh, this makes sense.
It fits with the world, because the world has sort of this fantastical element where everything really doesn't need to make sense.
Yeah, I actually wanted to ask you about that, because I know you don't like things, like, generally, I know you have a thing about, like, weirdness for just weirdness sake, and this show is full of that. This show is full of just weird things for weird things sake, like the school where the lady's like, the dude's like, ugh, I was a fool for wanting to open up a school to teach animals to speak our language and write it and walk on two legs.
You're absolutely right, but the difference between this and a few others,
mm-hmm.
is it feels very uniform. It feels like it's part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I rewatched it. I already watched it earlier in October. I watched it again recently. sake of this. And I feel there's so much untold stories. Like, as I'm watching the show, whether it's Auntie Whispers,
yes,
Adelaine, even the guy with the school of animals, mm-hmm. I feel like all of these are like almost their own fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own stories going on in the background, and Wart and Greg are just casually walking through them, unknowingly becoming a part of them, and then just passing through to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. Mm-hmm. But there's these actual other characters that have these, you know, own lore and elements there. Mm-hmm. And it makes you feel like the writers make it, you feel like that there's more to these stories. Because we're following Wart and Greg, we don't get that.
Yeah, I agree. Because remember, speaking of Auntie Whispers, how at the end of that episode, she was like, be careful of my sister. What was her name? Adelaide. She's like basically worse than what she seems. And it was like, we got that the episode after Adelaide's episode. And it's like, whoa, they're sisters. And that's all we get. It's like this big, juicy piece of lore, and then we're like, alrighty, bye. Time to keep following
them. Almost remind me of the two witches from Spirited Away.
Yes, no, they 100% remind me. 100%. I think that's what they maybe even were referencing, because when you look at Auntie Whisper, she looks like Yari Baba. I think that's her name.
I don't remember her name.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's like
big nose, yep, and big head. No, big she's like kind of like tiny body.
Yeah. She's like, but no, definitely.
You have beautiful eyes.
When the wolf came in. Okay, so I know we're supposed to analyze the animates in a very structured manner, but ironically, I think it's fun if we don't, because the show is in itself very structurally sound, but very wild and crazy. Because I want to mention something semi-negative, because this show, on this watch through, because I watch this every Halloween, it's my tradition since the show came out, I was actively looking for stuff to criticize. Because I want to know, because I like myself, I want to become a better writer. So looking at where other people have failed, even if something is so beautiful or something so bad even, I try to look at it so I learn how to apply it and learn from their mistakes. One thing, it's what you said, one thing, like how they're passerbys. To the point, I feel sometimes some of the buildup was way too quick. With the whole good woman Adelaide, because of this, she got beaten in 30 seconds. Like, we saw her, talked to her for 2 minutes, and they opened a window. And she was built up for 3 episodes. She was almost as big as the beast in the sense of the plot.
Yeah. It was like almost like the fairy godmother or like the Wizard of Oz. Like, we got to get to this person and this is going to be, we achieve our end goal.
Yeah. And then it was just like, oh no, she's evil. Oh, we beat her. It led to a lot of great things, but I was saying like, it felt like that was a lot of buildup for not. So what do you think of the characters?
Yeah. Honestly? Like the, and like the way, like, so much backstory, there's so much lore there that we didn't get. Mm-hmm. We don't know why it killed the air, the fresh air kills her. We don't know why, you know, she needed things or why her house is like covered in strings. There's like, it's just, there's just like so much in-depth thought that I know as, and you know as creators, like we go through these backstories for these characters, but we may not talk about it at all.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
I just know the creators have this whole backstory for her, but we'll never know what it is.
Never. And the other thing is, like, looking back at everything, this story is very tight. Like the writing and the pacing and everything. And you could see that in the intro. I thought that was so amazing, the intro of the first episode.
Order?
Huh?
The border, or like the sort of a like a collage of images, or like a little montage of images. Scenes,
yes, because if you watch them all, they're literally in everything is explained, or at least used. Because you see, I'm trying to remember her name. What was her name? Starts with a B. She was the bird. Beatrice. The girl who threw the rock is Beatrice, and it's she her throwing a rock at a blue jay with her dog, which turns out to be the dog in the first episode. And you learn Beatrice is cursed because she threw a rock at a blue jay, and it turned its whole family into blue jays. And you see it in the beginning. You see, what's the boy's name again? Not Wart.
Greg.
Steal the rock at the very end. You see the fish in the boat. You see all the context of everything in the story, but you're not explained anything. This show shows you so much, but it doesn't hold your hand and spoon feed you with what you're saying about building the lore. And that's what I think is so well done, is because you're shown everything, but you're not told everything. And I think that's really good. Now, Oscar, I'm going to ask you a hard question. I'm going to ask you to find something you didn't like about it, and what did you not like about it?
Didn't like about it?
Yeah, what's something you didn't like? Just to, like, spice this up. Spicy, spicy.
There was one thing that I don't know. It's not really a dislike. It's different. I work still. So what the thing is, like, so when you look at the characters in almost every single episode, they're very flat in their colors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no shadows at all. Like, even in simple animes, you have a highlight and you have a shadow.
Yeah.
It's two-tone. There's no blending. It's just stark difference.
Yeah.
And this is just solid color. There's no highlights. There's no shadows. You get the depth from all the background.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the boat, the forest. They are heavily in gradients with highlights and shadows and all that. And there's a lot of detail there. And that gives us a depth of the world. But the characters themselves are very, very flat. Now, bothers me to a degree, just like looking at the character by itself, but the way they use these really soft color palettes, it blends with the background, so it still fits. They're not popped out because, like, oh, bright red hat, bright blue coat. It's still a very dull coat.
Yeah.
It's not a very bright red. So it still fits with the world around it. So it works really well. So it's kind of like saving time, really, in the animation is what I gather it can be, by just painting them as solid color rather than doing some gradients of shadow. But that bothered me a little bit. I'm like, do I like that? Do I not like that? It still works because it was done in a smart way.
And it shows the fall season, yeah.
And I see the same thing with, like, Flapjack, like the when they're at the candy barrel, it's every, like, elaborately painted or colored, the background, but the characters are very flat. So, but because of the dull colors, the darker tones, it still fits within the world. So sometimes it bothered me, and sometimes I was just like, you know what, it works. I don't know why I'm being so nitpicky.
Yeah, no, because this is why, because the show is really good. Like, you start trying to learn. Like, what I said about, like, the on Abelay, I feel like, is a nitpicky topic, because this show does weird really well. And it's like, the reason I feel like it's so rewatchable is going into the animation, since you started touching about it. I think, minus the color thing, like you said, because I see what you're saying, and yeah. But I think we both would agree, the animation is really beautiful. Like, the character designs and, like, how the world flows together.
It's very simple. Very simple, but the way they execute is really well done.
And especially, so late.
Recording a lot later than we normally do.
Yeah, Halloween, we're recording at the witching hour. We're dead inside. Why do we record so late? Because we had technical difficulties and shit happened.
Ramble.
We're done. But,
no. but there was a few things I tried to catch them in a few episodes. I couldn't catch them all, but not Ash Ketchum, but But it was like the more of the visual storytelling, and I couldn't know if it was deliberate symbolism or if it was just my mind trying to see things more than it actually is. So like when the first episode, when the woodsman is talking to the boys and about being lost and things like that, he deliberately like is breaking branches. He tosses them off to the side. Like it's just two branches and they're like over there instead of with the fire or anything like that. It's over there and it's just like he's been. I don't know what the symbolism was. I kept thinking like too much in depth. I was like, you know, he's been cutting up all these trees that are essentially lost children. And so like the breaking of the branches, he tosses it to these two pieces of wood that he's setting aside because he's pretty much had enough. It's like almost the symbolism of these two boys are like, this is it. I'm not doing this anymore.
Damn, no, that
It's
actually
just
might
like
be
a
it.
foreshadowing, you know, because he's discarding these things now. And then it was like episode two, where they were kind of going in the right direction, but Beatrice is now takes them to Adelaide, and it's like that leaf is flowing on the wind. We're going, but then boom, it gets stuck on the fence.
Damn.
Longer going in the right
Oscar, are you
direction.
trying to break down the
So
symbolism? Oh, fuck.
yeah, so like it was like these things here and there, and I'm just like the cartoon is like a lot better than I remember it now.
No, yeah, this show is
And I'm
like
realizing all this
fantastic.
little stuff.
Like the twist at the end, again, spoilers, that it was it was so beautiful because like the whole myth of the beast is he carries the lantern, he carries the lantern. He is the beast, and that's why like Wart believes the woodsman is the beast, but then it leads you into believing her soul. No, it holds the soul of the woodsman's daughter. And then at the end, when Wart just went, "Is it your soul?" And you see the beast go, "Motherfucker." I literally remember each time going, "I forgot that it's his soul in there. And that he the fuel of the soul is the lost people." He's literally trying to keep himself alive with the lost people and forces someone else to do it. And I'm like, why can't he do it? I'm just like, this show was so well done because that twist in my mind didn't come out of nowhere in the sense of, ah, oh, this doesn't fit. I went, wow, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Even though I didn't feel like I've had hints to it, I believe it made a lot of sense. Like, it's just crazy. Like, this show's like, the way they thought it out, the whole point that like Greg like gives himself up for Wart, I thought was beautiful. I remember seeing that going, fuck no.
And that's another thing. You get like a small glimmer of this other fairy tale because the beast is having him do some ritualistic things.
Yeah, put the sun into the teacup. I was like, why the fuck is he having him do this? And we'll
Yeah,
never
click
know.
like gold or silver or something like
Yeah,
that.
find a
And
golden comb and a silver string.
so there's this other story that's not being told. And it's like, I thought about it this time around. I was like, the beast actually lose to the woodsman, or did he let the woodsman win? Because instead of him having to do all these ritual stuff and to the children like he did with Greg and get the wood and get the oil himself, there's someone doing it for him.
Like doing at least half the job. Like you'll get the wood, you'll get the oil, you'll keep my
He's
lamp
just
alive.
living carefree happily now.
And like just the concept of the ritual, I would love to know more about it, like where it came from and why it happens, because it sounds so complex. But again, a testament to the writing, because Ari mentioned this when we watched it together. She went, she's like, I really love how they write Greg. She was like, they wrote children so well. She was like, he sounds like a kid, and it's not like a I'm a stupid boy. I just make bloopy noises. It's like there's a method to his chaos. It is he always
And he
changes the noise.
camouflage.
Exactly. It's just random shit, but like it makes sense. He always changes the name of the frog because that's Greg. The fact that he pointed out the ritual was hilarious to me. He went, and you brought me the silver string. That's just a spider web. And I was like, what? And that the fact that at the end he feels guilty because he's like, what happened? I stole a rock, and that's a rock fact. And I was like, you're about to put it down. No. God, I can't watch this. I'm going to have to like mark every single one. But like, no, it's really well done because like he consistently makes sense. In the first episode, you're like, he's just a wacky kid. But as you watch it, you're like, no, this is him because it makes sense. He doesn't do something out of the ordinary. He doesn't go to school. I don't need school. The gorilla. Like that whole weird.
It's just like how a kid would react.
Yeah. And then it goes to Wart, and he is. I went like, this show did such a good job with him because Wart is this over anxious, analyzes everything he does. Everyone hates me. The second he gets into the party, no one's like, Wart, no one invited you. He's like, I was invited. Everyone's like, yo, Wart. Sarah's like, I've been waiting for you. And it's like, it's in his head. He's over.
He's a high school kid. We've all been there.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, they did such a good job because nothing from externally do you see makes him feel that way except himself. Even when he, like, blows up on Wart, I mean, on Greg, about how, like, it was your dad who came and ruined my life and then, like, had you, when the reasons he didn't like him sound very well. He was like, just like you and dad making me want to do marching band. I'm like, so the dad actually went and took time to find out your interest and was wanting you to pursue further. He didn't force a sport or anything onto you. He figured out what you liked and was just trying to push you into a direction where you get a little uncomfortable but pursue something you like. And I'm like, it's all in his head. Just like everything in the show, not like the show is fake, I believe firmly that they, even though time was distorted, I think it wasn't a dream. That was reality. I don't know. Like, I know they try to like maybe trick some people like that. That was reality. But like, I love how he created a lot of his own problems. When they went to the skeleton area, that was him creating his own problems.
Your burger. Hey, what?
Oh. He's so cool and smooth. Hey, you like ghosts?
The whole package.
Do you believe in ghosts? Because there's one behind you. Oh, that was China joke. It's okay, Thunderburger. It's okay. I was like, damn, she just pitied the shit out of you, boy. I'm like, that's your competition?
That is a thing I was looking at. I was like, they get out of they're saved at the end of the episode because they almost drowned, but they both, no, I guess Greg, my thing was like, do they both share a memory of all that stuff happening?
I think so, because they even mention, I think the reason they share it, it's conclusive, is because he calls a frog Jason Thunderburger. And he doesn't give, Wart's the one who gives the frog the name when he's saving Greg from the trees. He goes, we gotta come back with Jason Thunderburger. And he's like, the perfect name for a frog. And like, I think the frog is the connection showing this did happen. The fact that they know his name, it couldn't be a shared, and like he also says, like,
I don't think.
Go ahead. He's deep in thought, people.
I don't think that it would have shown those extra scenes of like all the other people doing well in the other world if it wasn't real.
Exactly, I agree 100%, and I think
I just think they like they slipped into that veil.
And like
the other world,
and it was like time was just distorted for them, like for felt for weeks maybe for their hunt, like to survive in reality maybe being 10 minutes in our world, but it's because of that they slip into the
unknown. It's like Alice in Wonderland, it's the same thing.
Yeah, they slipped into the unknown and the whole world exists but the people don't know about it, and it's fantastic. Like, all in all, like, I think we're around the time, Oscar, we can say it, because I'm going to be, like, myself 100% transparent before I ask your opinion. I could talk about this show so much. The detail that is put into it with every character and the whole world in itself. I watch this every year for Halloween for a reason, because I personally think as a miniseries and an animation, it is one of the greatest ones I've seen, because it finds a way to make such a weird and crazy concept feel natural, smooth together, as well as craft beautiful stories within them. These are moments and times that we just experience. And it takes place in Halloween, so it fits Spooky Month. Boom! Hit him with it. Even though it has horror. Like the Beast, his actual look. Have you seen how he actually looks? It's terrifying. That is a terrifying look.
And the Auntie Whispers one was a scary episode too.
Yeah, like there is a lot of scary shit in this, legitimately. And I personally say this does stack up. I give it the golden sip. We don't have a logo for it, so I'll point, but nothing will appear. Rock that. Oscar, what are you what
up are you on giving? It. Well, it's funny that you say that, because I know you did that, but I also watch it every year for Halloween.
Yeah, for real?
And that's a rock fact.
No, put the rock fact down.
Yeah, I watch it. I mean, not on Halloween, but I watch it every year around this time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shit, I just remembered they even show Greg steal the rock in the beginning. That was so dope. And you don't even notice it. Mm-hmm. You see the rock fact, but you never put two and two together that it was stolen until the very end. Yeah. You give it a golden sip?
Yeah.
Yeah. You recommend it?
Give it a golden sip, man. It's just like, every time I watch it, it makes me think more and more until I start seeing symbolism that probably doesn't exist.
The leaf had 5 points. The 5 points represent, there are 10 chapters divided by two. That's five. That means each of them have a little mini five arc. This is known as the leaf chapter. It's the point leaf one. And then when you look at it, there's a rock. The rock has a smiley face. When you see smile, spell smile. S-M-I-L-E. Five. And what does the beast do? What does beast have? B-E-A-S-T. Five again. Is this just a coincidence, Oscar? Yeah, it is.
I think it's a rock fact.
No, stop putting the rock. For our audio listeners, you don't get it, and I'm sorry, because there will be no rocks. You'll just see Oscar holding up an empty circle. An empty circle that does nothing upon it.
Three rocks everywhere. But no, like, yeah, I mean, it's just this beautifully layered cake. Mm-hmm. You only get one slice. And it's delicious. And you want more, but that's all you get.
That's all you get.
All you get.
And,
it's, yeah. It's just fantastic. It's beautiful. It's great. So, like, if you haven't seen it, mm-hmm. Own it.
Own it. Get on it. It's on HBO Max. You can watch it now. And with that,
it's like, how long is it? It's 10 episodes. Each one's like, what, 15 minutes long?
Like, without commercials or anything, and if you're not counting intros and outros, it's like 10, 11. Like 11 minutes. So it's like, literally a show.
You're looking at like a 2-hour sit down.
Yeah, just a movie. It is the length of a movie. Come watch it. You could even watch it as a movie. It would probably be best digested as that. And with that, Oscar, I think that is this episode. The last Halloween episode of the year. Burnt out cafe. Yeah, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, can you like and follow the podcast? We really do enjoy it. Hit that subscribe button there, anywhere. And we have questions for you. The first one is, have you seen Over the Garden Wall? Does it stack up to you? Does it interest you? Number two, try to come up with something crazy and wild. What is something crazy and wild you can think of that would fit into this world? Like, I don't know. Actually, no, better question. What was up with the black turtles? What the fuck was up with the black turtles? What is your theory? They caused evil. Auntie Whispers ate them, and when the dog ate them, it turned it into a monster.
Her teeth were like sparse and black.
Yeah, like, what was up with the black turtles? Tell us that. Comment below. And, now for some sweepity sweep sweep, Oscar. We gotta do some house cleaning. Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed it, guess what? There's another one. And then 24 is an anthology audio drama series. And if you liked Over the Garden Wall, am I gonna say you'll like it in 24? I'll say yes. Am I saying they're the same? They're not.
No.
But they're both episodic. They have great stuff in them. And if you're listening to this podcast on YouTube or any other audio platform, guess what? You'll find Internet 24 right there with it. Also, I have a webcomic called Cat Trails. You can find that on Webtoon and Tapas. I don't know why I'm pointing. I'm not going to do anything. But you can find it there. It's a fantasy sci-fi series. It's going on. By the time this comes out, chapter 2 just finished. Oh my God. Chapter 2 is done. Oh, next week starts chapter 3. That's when things start getting spicy. Because if I'm correct, chapter 2, its ending, has a little surprise for people. Something I don't know if people saw coming or even thought was going to be possible. But you'll see it. Oscar will see it. He doesn't know what's going on. Oscar, do you know what's going on?
Like coming a mile away.
He saw it coming a mile away. How the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know.
And Oscar, is there anything you want to say?
No, I mean, get up on there. I hope everyone has a fun, safe Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's careful out there. Things are kind of still crazy.
Yeah, don't forget, wear a mask. Things are, just because everything is feeling like it's starting to get normal, there is still a global pandemic going on. Be careful. Have a safe Halloween. And Oscar is going to hit us with our famous catchphrase for our last spooky podcast of the year.
Poetry and clarinet, Greg. Poetry and clarinet.
They're gonna sit down, listen to it, and they're gonna laugh at me.